Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Based on the prayer of the personified Vedas, discussion was there about the special position of the Lord's internal energy. The material energy is the conditioned souls try to exploit the material energy. The Supreme Lord has no interest in trying to do that, but he's always in association with his internal energy that defines the difference between the two energies. And there's continuation, text 24 is only two paragraphs. Ta-ta! Oh, yes, we were. Okay. Maybe three. Okay. Okay, let's look at 92 again. This is passage from the Vishnu Purana, sixth part, fifth chapter, describing two kinds of knowledge. Okay, well, the cure for all material diseases is realization of Bhagavan. And therefore, one should endeavor to realize Bhagavan if he's intelligent. And there are two sadhanas, two means for doing that, for achieving Bhagavan: jnana and karma. Jnana is directly the means. Karma is preliminary, indirect means, by purifying yourself through performance of the Vedic sacrifices. One becomes fit to receive spiritual knowledge that results in realizing the Bhagavan, the personality of Godhead. 92, we were discussing, how that sadhana of jnana, knowledge, cultivation of knowledge, has two divisions. Tatcha jnanam dvividam, agamo tam vivekacha dvida jnanam tatochyate, which is the next statement in the Vishnu Purana. Knowledge is also said to be twofold: that which is presented in the scriptures, and that which comes from a discriminating thought. In other words, the theoretical knowledge you get from the books, and the realized knowledge that you get from your own thought. And then the second half of the verse continues to say, define these two kinds. Brahman in the form of sound comprises the scriptures, and the supreme Brahman appears from discrimination. This is commented on by Sridhar Swami, who says, comprising the scriptures, that's the first kind of knowledge, agamotam, means the knowledge which is presented in the scriptures. And then Shabda Brahma means the knowledge. Brahman in the form of sound is the Brahman which it takes birth from sound. from such statements as Brahman is reality and knowledge unlimited, which is born of hearing, or in other words, which is presented in the scriptures. That is Shabda Brahman. So the Agamota Gyanam is the same as what we call Shabda Brahma, the knowledge you receive from the Vedas, or the realization of the Absolute that you receive from studying the Vedic literature. Then we have the Para Brahma, the realization, the consciousness that is revealed in deep contemplation. I think I did not read the Sanskrit for that. Dehadi Vivikta'at Atma Kara Chitta Vrittau Nididhyasanayam Prakashamanam Param Brahma Viveka Jam Gyanam Ityartaha. The Supreme Brahman is the consciousness which is revealed in deep contemplation, the state of the mind which assumes the form of the self, distinguished from the body, and so on. Okay, it's not the Supreme Brahman is consciousness. That's sometimes said, but in a different sense. This means that realization of the Supreme Brahman is a certain kind of consciousness. It's the consciousness, realization of the Supreme also comes from your own inner contemplation. We're using the word here. The state of the mind that assumes the form of the self. That means when you actually understand, not just theoretically, but you are convinced and you actually experience that the soul is different than the body. That is discrimination. Why do we call it discrimination? Some people use the word discrimination as something that's bad. You think that one person is better than another. That's discrimination. Well, this is a good kind of discrimination, that the body is inferior to the soul, and the body is not you. You are the soul. That kind of discrimination is what we're talking about here, viveka. When you realize actually that you're not this body, then you can realize Bhagawan directly, not just theoretically. Vritti vyangyasya brahmana eva gyanadi bideyatvad brahmaiva gyanam ityuktam. Well, why do we say that Brahman is the knowledge? Why do the Vedas say Brahman is Jnana? Satyam Jnanam Anantam Brahma. Well, one understanding of that is, since Brahman, which is revealed through the functions of the mind, is designated as consciousness, Jnanam, thus it is said that Brahman itself is consciousness. In other words, we say that Brahman is consciousness because it's in consciousness that Brahman reveals itself in the mind. Okay, we did get to the end of that paragraph. Anyway, we just did it again. Now we're moving into 93. It may be objected. Nanu shabda shravanadapi brahma gyanam eva otpadyate ten aiv agyanam nivartya Bhagavat prapti siddhi, kim viveka gyane netya shank yaha. But it may be objected, simply by giving oral reception to sound, knowledge of Brahman arises. And by that knowledge, one overcomes illusion and can attain the personality of Godhead. So what need is there for the knowledge which comes of discrimination? Okay. The knowledge you get from studying the Vedas is adequate for attainment of the Supreme. We don't need this personal realization. That's the objection. The answer to it is, one second. This objection is addressed in the verse, the next verse in the passage of the Vishnu Purana. Andam tama eva gyanam deepavat chindriyod bhavam yata suryas tata gyanam yad viprashe vivekajam. Illusion is like the blindness of darkness. Blindness of darkness. And the knowledge derived from the senses is like a lamp. While knowledge born from discrimination, O sage among Brahmins, is like the sun. Okay, triple metaphor here. Comparing, ignorance is like darkness. Knowledge from the senses, empirical knowledge, is just like a lamp. It's limited. But the knowledge that you get from discrimination is like the sun. Vast knowledge. Well, okay. Sridhar Swami comments on that statement. Ityatra nividam tama ivagyanam vyapakam avaranam. Like dense darkness, illusion is a pervasive covering. Indriyaik shabdadi dwara jatam jnana deepavad asambhavanad yabibhutam nava na sarvatmana jnana nivartakam. Knowledge born from the senses through verbal and other evidence. So he's including the theoretical knowledge you get from the scriptures under the category of indriyajam, born from the senses. Use your senses to perceive the scriptures. So it's a kind of sensory understanding. It's empirical. That knowledge is like a lamp. Being overcome by doubts and so on, unable to altogether dispel illusion. A lamp will help you light the darkness, but it's volatile. It's vulnerable to the wind can blow it out. It can run out of fuel. And it's not powerful enough to dispel all the darkness. Similarly, empiric knowledge, even knowledge gotten from the scriptures, is not likely to dispel all of your ignorance. And also you can have misunderstandings about the meaning of the scripture. Vivekajam tu jnanam suryavat sarva ajnana nivartakam ityartaha. Knowledge born from discrimination, however, is like the sun, dispelling all illusion. This is the implied idea. Okay, that's Sridhar Swami's explanation of that statement from the Vishnu Purana. And the Vishnu Purana has more to say. Ukta lakshana jnana dvaide manu sammatim aha. Okay. Manu also described the purport of the Vedas, speaking what... Oh, wait. There's a sentence missing in the translation. Okay, let me supply the missing sentence. Manu's support of this idea that the knowledge occurs in two forms, the theoretical knowledge and the realized knowledge. Manu, in the Manu Samhita, the Manu Smriti, confirms this. But the Vishnu Purana is describing how Manu confirms it. And the place where Manu is talking is in his book, the Manu Smriti. The Vishnu Purana is talking about what Manu said. But that's a sentence I didn't translate. I just added the translation to that one. Now, what the Vishnu Purana says about Manu. Manur apya vedartam smritva cha muni satama tadeta chuyatamatra sammande gadato mama. Manu also described the purport of the Vedas, speaking what he recollected. Now please hear what I have to say in this regard. So Manu studied the Vedas, and then he wrote his own book. His book is called a Smriti, the Vedas or Shruti. He heard the Vedas, as many other generations of disciples heard the eternal message of the Vedas. But he gave his own understanding of the Vedas in his Manu Smriti. And the verb being used here is smitva, remembering it. Remembering what he heard in his study of the Vedas, he wrote his Smriti. Smriti is based on the recollection of a sage who has studied the Vedas. It's in his own words. It's put together in his own way. That's Smriti, written by a sage who has studied the Vedas. Okay, Sri Ramaswamy has to say about this, ityatra atra sambandhe asmin prasange. In this connection, what do I have to say in this regard? And this regard means on this topic, on the topic of jnana. So, let's see. Brahma said, and the speaker of the Vishnu Purana here is summarizing what Manu said. Dve brahmani veditavye shabda brahma param chayat shabda brahmani nishnata param brahmadi gacchati. There are two kinds of Brahman to be understood. Brahman as sound and the supreme Brahman. Shabda Brahma and Param Brahma. One who is well versed in the sound form of Brahman can realize the supreme Brahman. So there's a sequence. First you realize Shabda Brahma, then you can have direct realization in your heart of the absolute truth. Sri Goswami says about this. This is commented on. Ityatra Shabda Brahmani Shravanena Nishnato Viveka Jagyanena Param Brahma Prapnoti. Adigachati is translated here as obtains. This is commented on by Sri Goswami. Well versed in the sound form of Brahma by hearing, one attains the supreme Brahman by the knowledge which is born from discrimination. Okay. Now, there are two means of achieving that knowledge, jnana and karma. That's described in the next statement of the Vishnu Purana. Tat prapti hetur jnanam cha karma cha choktam. That was already said. Ityatra shruti samati maha. What was said, that knowledge and sacrifice are the causes of attaining the supreme, is given the corroboration of shruti by the statement, and the statement is, so the statement is going to show how the shrutis agree in this opinion that there are two causes of acquiring knowledge, two causes of realizing the supreme. One of them is knowledge, the other one is karma. The statement is, dve vidye viditavye va iti chartaravani shrutihi paraya tvakshada praptir vigvedadi maya para. Okay. Yeah, got it. Okay. The Atharvani, this Vishnu Purana says, the Atharvani Shruti states, indeed, there are two kinds of knowledge to be known. By the superior one, one attains the infallible, the Akshara. And the inferior one consists of the Rig Veda and the other scriptures. So the Vishnu Purana is telling us that the Atharvani Shruti says this. Atharvani Shruti here means the Mundak Upanishad. Atharvani coming from the Atharva Veda. Actually, all the Upanishads are supposed to belong to the Atharva Veda. But the Mundak Upanishad is particularly called the Atharvani Upanishad. So that, we're going to see the actual statement in the next paragraph from the Mundak Upanishad. But the Mundak Upanishad tells us, by superior knowledge one realizes the Akshara. And the inferior knowledge is what you learn from the Rig Vedas and other scriptures. Sridhar Swami says, Ityatra, Vidya Shabdena, Taddhetu Karma Brahma Vishayau, Veda Bahagau, Grihyete. By the word Vidya, Vidya is here, yeah. Dway Vidya, there are two kinds of Vidya, two kinds of education. By the word Vidya, we are understood the two parts of the Vedas, which have as their subject matters the ritual work and supreme truth. The respective motives of this Vidya. Okay, there are two parts of the Vedas which have two different subject matters. One is about karma, that's the Karmakanda. And the other part of the Veda is about the Absolute Truth. That's the Gyanakanda, or the Upanishads talk about the Absolute Truth. This is described by the words beginning Paraya. The words are Paraya to Akshara Praptir. By the superior one, one gets the Akshara. And the Apara, the inferior one, is the Rig Veda and so on. But that means the Rig Veda and so on as they present Karmakanda. Tadaha pariyeti Brahma Bhago Akshara Pratipadaka Parakya Veda Bhagadina Karma Bhaga Rig Vedadi Shabdin Ochite. The Brahman portion is defined as such parts of the Vedas which are designated superior and explain the infallible. And the karma portion is known by the names Rig Veda and so on. Brahmana parivrajakadi vat, in the same way as a renunciant is still called a brahmana. The Upanishads are superior information. They reveal the absolute truth, whereas other portions of the Vedas don't very obviously reveal the absolute truth. They seem to be talking just about rituals, about worshipping demigods, about achieving the fulfillment of material desires. That's the Karmakanda portion of the Vedas, which seems to make up over 95% of the volume of the Vedas. It seems to be all Karmakanda. But the Upanishads, even though they're special, they're still Vedas. In the same way that a sannyasi is still a Brahmin. And you can call him a Brahmin sannyasi, even though, technically speaking, as a sannyasi, he's risen above the designations of the social classes. But you say he's a Brahmin sannyasi. He used to be a Brahmin. He was born as a Brahmin. Now he's a sannyasi. So you call him a Brahmin sannyasi. So the Upanishads, even though they're different, are still part of the Vedas. And they're designated as such. That particular part of the Vedas which explains the infallible. Sa tu apara sadhana gocharatvat. This part is inferior because it deals with the methods of practice. The karma portion is known as the Rig Veda and so on. It's called inferior because it deals with the preliminary processes of advancement. Okay, here's the actual statement from the Mundaka Upanishad.
Atapara yaya tadaksharam adigamyate yattadadrishyam agrahyam ityadi atarvana shrutuknam para vidya vishayam aksharakyam param tatvam aha tribihi.
The subject of the superior knowledge called the infallible, the akshara, the supreme truth, as referred to in such words as the of the Atharva Shruti, the Mundaka Upanishad, as, and that is the superior, by which the infallible is understood, that which is invisible, imperceptible. And that's described by the Vishnu Purana in the following three verses. This occurs at the beginning of the Mundaka Upanishad. It's the very first question and answer. The disciples asked the guru to explain the akshara, the absolute truth. And he says, well, there are two kinds of educations, the superior and the inferior. And the superior is that by which you realize the akshara. And then the rest of the Mundaka Upanishad is describing, explaining the realization of that akshara. So Vishnu Purana paraphrase all this in three verses.
Yattad avyaktam ajaram achintyam ajam avyayam anirdeshyam arupam cha pani padadya samyutam vibhum sarvagatam nityam bhutayonim akaranam vyapya vyapyam yatak sarvam tadvai pashyanti surayah tad brahma paramam dhamma tadhyeyam mokshakankshinam shruti vakyo ritam sukshmam tad vishnok paramam param.
That which is unmanifest, unaging, inconceivable, unborn, inexhaustible, indescribable, formless, without hands, legs, and other limbs, all-powerful, present everywhere, eternal, the source of all creation, causeless, pervasive, unpervaded, from which everything comes, that the wise sages look to. So there's your absolute truth, the akshara. It's got a lot of qualities. We just made a long list of qualities. Some of them may be expressed negatively, but they're still qualities. That is the supreme Brahman and supreme abode, the object of meditation for those who desire liberation. Spoken of in the words of the Shruti, the subtle truth, the supreme reality of Lord Vishnu, tad Vishnu paramam param. That's from the Rig Veda. So we have the Vishnu Purana alluding to and now summarizing the Mundaka Upanishad. The Mundaka Upanishad is pointing toward the Rig Veda statement, tad Vishnu paramam param. Sridhar Swami comments, ityatra.
Yeah.
Vishnu Purana is saying the words. Well, there's something in the Mundaka Upanishad which alludes to that. I think the word Param and Vishnu were there. But the original statement is there, Om Tats Vishnu Paramam Param. That's Rig Veda. So it all echoes back to the Rig Veda. This is commented on. Vibhum prabhum sarvagatam aparichinam vyapi sarvakaryanugatam swayam tu anyen avyapyam. All-powerful, vibhu, means controlling Lord. Present everywhere, or sarvagata, means undivided. Pervasive, vyapi, means contained within all manifest productions. Everything that's created in the material world has Brahman in it. So Brahman is pervading everything. It's everywhere. Wherever there's anything, Brahman's there. But Swayam tu anyena avyapyam, while itself is not pervaded by anything else. Nothing pervades Brahman. Nothing is big enough to include all of Brahman. So nothing pervades Brahman. Yatat sarvam bhavati. It is that, Brahman, from which everything comes. Tatparam brahma va brahmaiva svechaya vishkrita shadgunyam parameshvarakyam. That is the Supreme Brahman, known as the Supreme Lord, Parameshvara, who by his own will manifests his six kinds of qualities, shadgunyam, his six kinds of opulences. The Param Brahma is Bhagawan. Now, that is going to be made more explicit in the next verse of the Vishnu Purana, that Param Brahman is Bhagawan, the personality of Godhead. Bhagavat Shabda Vachyam Dwadish Aksharadi Paravidyayopadanaya Bhaktaik Sulabha Darshanam Ityaha. That it is designated by the term Bhagawan, easily seen by devotees by taking to the supreme mystic meditation of the 12 syllable mantra and other such mantras. So two things. That Parabrahman is actually called Bhagawan. And that Parabrahman Bhagawan is easily seen, realized by devotees who perform the supreme mystic meditation of chanting the 12-syllable mantra and other such mantras, Gayatri mantra. I don't know which one is Dwadaksha. Is 12 syllables? Okay. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Don't tell anybody. Yes? Okay. And that is described. It is designated, this is the actual verse from the Vishnu Purana, Tadetad Bhagavad Vachyam Swarupam Paramatmanaha Vachako Bhagavat Shabdas Tasyadvas Adyasyaksharatmanaha. It is designated, Parabrahma is designated Bhagawan. The original form of the Supreme Soul. It's the Swarupa of the Paramatma. The word Bhagawan names him who is the original infallible soul. Okay? This goes on and on. We're just getting started. Yeah, well, let's read it. This is a very important passage of the Vishnu Purana. There's some familiar verses coming up. Nanu, yad ishvaro brahmaiva, katam tarhi tasya nirdeshyasya bhagavat shabda vachyatvam ityashankyaha. But it may be objected, If the personality of Godhead is the supreme truth, why then is that indescribable truth designated by the word Bhagawan? Ishvara is Bhagawan. Personality God, that's what you call Bhagawan. Why do you say that the inconceivable absolute truth that doesn't have a name, why do you say that's Bhagawan? So the objection is that you're misusing the word Bhagawan when you apply it to impersonal Brahman. Well, that's answered. Or there could be another objection here. Atava swarupam eva bhagavat shabdena vachyam natu lakshyam ityuktam. Or, not objection, but we may be wanting to say, in here, or the Vishnu Purana may be intending to say, that the word Bhagawan doesn't just indirectly, figuratively, by lakshana vritti, describe the absolute truth. As the Mayavadis would say, Skip 98. Okay, let's go back to 98. Idrik Vishayam Chaganam Paravidyetyaha. Okay, knowledge with such as its object. In other words, knowledge that has Bhagawan as its object is Paravidya. That's the superior education. Now we're getting more specific. That the superior education that's on a higher level than the Karmakanda that you learn in most of the Vedas, this is actually, the subject of that knowledge is Bhagawan, the personality of Godhead. And this is said by the Vishnu Purana in the verse that I just skipped, which is, evam nigaritar tasya sat satatvam tasya tatvataha gyayate yena tadgyanam paramanyatrayimayam. That knowledge is the superior kind, by which one factually understands in scientific detail the Supreme who has been explained in this way. The Supreme who is explained as designated by the term Bhagawan and easily understood by his devotees, perceivable by his devotees. That is the superior kind of knowledge, knowledge about that Bhagawan. The other kind of knowledge consists of the three. The inferior knowledge is the three Vedas. And Sridhar Swami says about this, ityatra nigaritartasya dvadash aksharadibir uktartasyeshwarasya satatvam swarupam tatvato apachyuta brahmasarupena yena dvadash aksharadina gyayate tat param gyanam para vidya. This is commented by Sridhar Swami, by which 12-syllable mantra and so on, other mantras like that, one understands the factual position, the original identity, in truth, of the Supreme Lord. The position of the Supreme Lord in his original identity as the never-fading Akshara Supreme. He's the Akshara, the personality of Godhead. And the Supreme Lord has been explained, described by the 12-syllable mantra and so on. That is the superior knowledge, or what the Mundaka Upanishad calls the superior vidya. That, trayimayam tu anyad apara vidya karmakya. That which consists of the three Vedas is the other, the inferior vidya called ritual work. And then the objection, well, okay, you say that Ishvara, the personality of God, that's Brahman. But how is it? Okay, the Supreme Personality of God is non-different from Brahman. Okay. But now, how can you say that the absolute truth, which cannot be described in words, is described by the name Bhagawan? How can you say that? Answer. Ashabda gocharasyapi tasya eva brahmano dvija pujayam bhagavat shabdak kriyate hyaupacharikaha shudhe mahavibhutyakye pare brahmani vartate maitreya bhagavat shabdak sarva karana karani. The objection is anticipated and answered. Or, as an alternative understanding, it is being said in this next two verses of the Vishnu Purana that the original form is directly named by the word Bhagawan, not just figuratively indicated by it. Bhagawan literally describes the absolute truth. It doesn't just metaphorically point to it indirectly. The Mayavadis, their position is the absolute truth really can't be described in any words. The words of the Vedas only indirectly point toward it. by using the terms Bhagawan and describing qualities of the Saguna Brahman. The Nirguna Brahman is beyond words, but you can point toward it by describing Nirguna Brahman, a Saguna Brahman. That's the idea of the Mayavadis. But Vishnu Purana is denying that by saying that the term Bhagawan directly indicates the Supreme Absolute Truth, not just figuratively, not just by Lakshana. The argument is presented. And that's the two verses. Although this supreme truth is not accessible to language, O Brahmana, in worship, the term Bhagawan is applied figuratively, upachara, metaphorically. Okay, now the Vishnu Purana seems to say that the term Bhagawan is figurative. But that will be explained by Jiva Goswami. Just wait. O Maitreya, the word Bhagawan actually applies to the pure supreme Brahman, who is known as the possessor of supreme opulences and is the cause of all causes. Okay. Now, here's Sridhar Swami's explanation of this. This is commented by Sridhar Swami. Ashabde iti pujayam nimitabhutayam avishkrita shadgunyena bhagavat shabda prayujyate. The verse beginning ashabda. When the purpose is worship, the word Bhagawan is used because his having six kinds of qualities is manifest when he's being worshipped. Tatrapi gunanam swarupa binatvat upacharat artiya prayujyate. Upacharat matvartiya prayujyate. And even in that case, since the qualities are non-different from his essential self, the possessive suffix man is used figuratively, the intention being to express their difference. So what's figurative is not that Bhagawan is actually the supreme Brahman. That's literal. What's figurative is the suffix man or van, that he possesses his bhagas, because they're not separate from him. They're not separate things to be possessed. Like I have an iPod and a nice pair of shoes. That's my possessions. But the Lord's opulences are innate to him. They're non-different from him. So the suffix van, possessing, is only used figuratively. That's what's upachara. Or indirect usage, metaphorical usage. It's in order to express the idea that the qualities are as if they were separate from him. Actually, they're not. But we can think of them as separate from him by calling him Bhagawan, the person who has these bhagas. But those bhagas are not any different from him, actually. Okay. Itam bhute mukya eva bhagavat shabdo vartate ityaha shuddha. That's the next verse. Shuddhe mahavibhutakye parabrahmani vartate. The word Bhagawan properly refers to the supreme pure absolute truth who is known as the possessor of the greatest opulences. Shuddhe, okay. In him who is pure, no, it is stated with the word Bhagawan, no, it is stated that the word Bhagawan occurs when this particular primary sense is expressed in the words beginning Shuddhe. When we're referring to not just the possession of opulences, but to the absolute truth who has these opulences innate within him, to whose swarupa these opulences belong. When we're referring to that absolute truth, then we use the word Bhagawan in its literal sense. And he's the Shuddha, the supreme pure. Shuddhi Sanghi. Shuddhi means a Sanghi. Mahavibhutyakye, Achintya Aishwarye. In him who is pure, that means he's unattached, he has no material attachments. And he's known as the possessor of supreme opulence. And that means that his power is inconceivable. Achintya Aishwarya. Evam Esha Mahashabdo Bhagavan Iti Sattama Iti Vakshaman Anusarena Prakrita Gata Patadi Shabdanam Agocharasya Tadatitasya Parasyapi Brahmanas Tasyaiva Bhagavat Shabda Nanyasya. In accordance with the statement that is going to be made, hasn't been made yet, thus it is his, this is his ultimate designation, Bhagavan. The ultimate name of the Supreme is Bhagavan. That's going to be said in a few verses. It is the Supreme Brahman himself. He who cannot be described, he's indescribable, but he's described by the name Bhagavan. But he cannot be described by such material words as pot or cloth. And he transcends all these material things, pots and cloths and everything else designated by ordinary words. So he's anirdesha, inexpressible, inexpressible in ordinary words. He and no other is named by the term Bhagavan. Well, okay, then Anyasya tu pujayam pujatva pratipadane nimitte apacharika eva kriyate yatak shuddha ityadi. The word Bhagavan is used only figuratively in reference to someone else. Bhagavan is used literally to refer to the Supreme Absolute Truth, the Personality of Godhead. Sometimes the word Bhagavan is used in reference to other people, like Bhagavan Maitreya. That's only figurative. In the matter of worship, in other words, to express that a person is worshipable, we may call him Bhagavan, even though he's not the Absolute Truth. That's another way of interpreting that statement, that upacharika pujayam, when you're worshipping an ordinary person, you might call him Bhagavan. That's just figurative. Shuddha eva sati mahavibhutir akya khyatir yasmin tas, yasya tasmin. In reference to him who, being pure, is named as the possessor of supreme opulence. Okay, the word Bhagavan refers to the supreme pure and the one who is known as the possessor of supreme opulence. Tataiva vakshyate cha hi. Evam esha mahashabda ityadi sarda pada dvayena tvanyatra hipu upacharataha ityantena. The same will be said later in the 2.5 verses which begin with the words, thus this is his ultimate designation, and which are completed with the words, in reference to anyone else it is used figuratively. That is in a verse that hasn't come yet. Okay, and then 1 second. We'll continue tomorrow with the next verse, Sambharte titata bharta bakaro arto dvayanvitaha. This is quoted by Prabhupada in the Chaitanya Charitamrita. It's a famous verse analyzing the syllables of the name of the word Bhagavan. Yes, it was quoted before. Okay, you had a comment? Okay, we're going to have an announcement. Anything before that? All right, announcement? Okay, thank you. Okay, we'll stop here.
Thank you. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai.